Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, National Leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. Today we're diving into how retailers are using real-time data to adjust prices, optimize margins, and stay competitive in a fast-moving marketplace. Joining us today is Shauna Wager, Managing Director at BDO Digital, to break down the signals behind effective dynamic pricing and what retailers need to do to get it right before rolling it out. Welcome back to the show, Shauna.
Thanks, Natalie.
Shauna, so why is dynamic pricing becoming a priority or a focus for retailers in 2026? And what's driving this sudden urgency?
Yeah, so a lot of it comes down to the economy acting like it's had too much cold brew. That's kind of the way I kind of think about it. Things are uncertain, demand swings quickly, and retailers can't really afford to make big inventory bets and just hope for the best. And, you know, what we're seeing in 2026 is that the retail environment is shaped very much by economic uncertainty. Think about demand pattern shifting like weather fronts, because we just have seen this big weather front today, right? Instead of a long-term forecast, it's really now kind of shaping up to be just those weather fronts, and retailers are operating with tighter margins. A lot of times there's far less predictability. And so dynamic pricing is kind of like that economic shock absorber that kind of helps, right? It helps alleviate the choppiness. So when consumer confidence dips on, say, a Tuesday afternoon, pricing can flex with that. And if a product suddenly goes viral, last year there were like those really popular tumbler water bottles, the insulated ones, unexpectedly took off like a shot, and everybody wanted one, you couldn't find them. Prices can adjust to keep inventory aligned with that demand. So the urgency isn't so much about chasing revenue. It's more about staying resilient in an economy that refuses to sit still.
So let's dig a little bit deeper on that. So what data signals, what are the critical data points that are going to change the impact on dynamic pricing, whether it's inventory, weather, competitor pricing, customer behavior? So these tend to be the biggest impact on dynamic pricing accuracy. And what the role, and of course, what would a podcast be without talking about AI?
Yeah,
what role does AI play in helping to understand all these different data points?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the heavy hitters that we're really seeing are real-time inventory levels and customer behavior. So, you know, especially when you look at the interplay between what people browse online and what they ultimately either purchase from their cart or they pick up in the store, right? So, all of those things that you talked about combined really do have a role. They do play into this, but it's really those inventory levels and the more real-time information we can get. And customer behavior. So inventory tells you what you need to move. Customer behavior tells you what people are actually interested in, right? And AI kind of sits in the middle. Think of them like a little podcast host or someone saying, okay, so let's connect those dots now, right? It analyzes what's trending, where interest lies, where it's dropping off, who clicked twice but didn't purchase anything, how much stock you actually have in the back, and it can factor things in like weather or competitor pricing. But the biggest impact usually comes from matching the shopper behavior with the real-time inventory. So let's think about like weather and competitor pricing right now, right? So East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, but East Coast, cold snap, right? So you might see People might be looking for space heaters or something to keep warm, maybe electric blankets or additional blankets or something. So, maybe a home improvement retailer or somebody like that is planning there's going to be some demand because it is a cold snap, and AI helped them adjust the prices regionally for those things. Same thing that happens in a heat wave, right? The opposite, fans either can't be found, but there's either sale prices on them or the prices go up depending on how they're trying to move them and what the inventory is. But this is where geography can also come into play, because if a retailer has, say, warehouses with surplus, they can direct folks to those areas to buy. So, you can do a lot with AI. You can do a lot with especially those the customer behaviors, the patterning, and the mix of what those shoppers are doing online and in store. But I would say it's less about reacting emotionally, and it's more about responding proportionally. So AI makes the pricing adjustments smarter, faster, and less emotional in the human world. Then there's good and bad in that. But those are the two things, when back to your original question, those are the two things I would say are the big heavy hitters, the real-time inventory and customer behavior. And all that means data is important.
So let's look at this from the perspective of the consumer, because you talked about data from the consumer behavior, which I think is super important. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you go into lots of retail stores or even the supermarket, there are no more prices on the product itself. It's either on the shelving, or if it's on the end cap, it's some kind of promotional sign. And I remember when I was younger or as a child, I mean, every single item was priced. And now, in order to change the price, you don't need to reprice every item. You just change the label on the shelves, or what I've seen in some more advanced supermarkets, they have electronic signs or electronic labels that can be changed from sitting in the back office of the supermarket. So the question, long question here, but getting to the heart of it, is where's the line between smart optimization and then creating that negative customer experience where I'm like, I know this was not the price yesterday, or it wasn't the price last week, and it's changing because there's a snowstorm coming, or it's changing because there's less inventory. Where is the balance between the two?
Yeah, this is where it gets tricky, because there is definitely a line and it is definitely blurring. So I like to talk about top three danger zones I see. Surge pricing, we'll say surge pricing vibes, as my daughter likes to say. What's the vibe? It's surge pricing vibe. Price whiplash and killing comparison shopping, right? And I think about those when I think about like surge pricing vibes. I also think about what is important to the consumer, and fairness perception is hugely important. So for each one of those top three danger zones, there is a consumer experience piece that we need to be concerned about. So price whiplash, that's price volatility, right? And then when you look at comparison shopping, it creates that friction. So it's comparison friction. So let's think about this from a Saturday morning perspective. Nobody wants cereal that costs more on Saturday than it did during on Friday night or during the rest of the week, right? That instantly erodes trust. And we have to be cognizant of that. Retailers must be cognizant of that, because that is what kills people returning or buying that specific product. If the price of everyday goods, we'll say cereal or even paper towels or something like that, appears to rise simply because it's a particular time, then consumers feel like that's a penalty, and they're just not going to purchase it. They may go to a different brand, they might go to a different store. And when we think about like pricing volatility, if a shopper sees a price change twice during a browsing session, this actually happens to me. I'm waiting to buy a sweater, And it just keeps bouncing all over the place. And I'm just not going to pay what it's saying that I need to pay. And 2 weeks ago, I saw it said possibility of like a 50% off. So I'm waiting for that to pop back up. But if that happens, it creates what I think economists, money people are calling price instability. I call it annoying. I just call it annoying because to me, I know it's going to come down. It's a matter of when. And there's going to be a time when I'm like, I don't want to play this game anymore, and I'm just not going to buy it. I'll find something else. And then when we talk about comparison, again, this kind of fits into the price volatility, but dynamic pricing makes it harder for shoppers to know whether they're getting a good deal. I think we had a conversation about this not too long ago. I want the good deal. You know, and most shoppers want the good deal, and it's hard to tell. And that uncertainty will make us all cautious, and that means we delay our purchases. So it really does have a huge impact. The goal of optimization is for it to feel invisible. The moment that you and I or other customers can sense that we're being managed instead of served, then that experience is going to become pretty negative.
So let's stick with your sweater story.
Yeah.
What are some of the most common mistakes retailers can make as they're rolling out dynamic pricing? Think about your sweater story. What are the most common mistakes they're making?
Well, I personally, I feel like they should know me better because my behavior is all out there and it's not hard to see my trends, where I shop, what I do. You know, that's because I'm a loyalty person and I give my number and information probably shouldn't to everyone. My husband is the exact opposite. He's like, I'm not giving anybody anything. But the big thing here is that knowing that, I feel like they should have the data to ensure the right levers are pulled in a very easy fashion where I don't feel managed and where I want to buy it. So if I think about what's most important and what's being left on the table, I would say that jumping into dynamic pricing without doing your homework or the very like unglamorous work of fixing data and really understanding their data, understanding the inventory, understanding all of those things we talked about, then they're going to run into messy situations. Their attributes are going to be inconsistent. It's going to be harder for them to pattern things. The pricing engine is basically going to be guessing at that point. Your AI is going to it's going to take a lot more energy for AI to find patterns or for those suggestions to pop up. And that's how you're going to end up with a lot more of a certain kind of inventory and none of another. Or that's where you're going to end up fire selling something or lowering that price incorrectly. And it's really going to impact you. So I would say that treating dynamic pricing as a plug-and-play technology instead of a data discipline is probably the biggest mistake we see.
Got it. Very good. Thank you, Shauna. Dynamic pricing is definitely reshaping how retailers balance competitiveness, margin, health, and customer expectations. And of course, getting that data foundation right is essential. Thanks for tuning in today. And until next time, stay agile and stay tuned for more real-time retail insights. Have a great day.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO's services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.